This is Dale Jr., and you're listening to Dirty Mo Radio.
I don't mind having dumb stuff happen, but I hate when dumb stuff happens and it turns into a mystery. I liked it better the first 100 laps.
The Dale Jr. download starts now.
Very good perspective there from Dickerson and from Mr. Letart. With Amanda Troutman and Mike Davis, I am Taylor Zarzer. Now, Mike, before we get started, I know Dale Jr. has a message for his Twitter followers.
Yeah, you know, Taylor, when Jr. went multiple laps down, I was a little concerned because I said, you know what, this is the night where Dale Jr. is really going to meet Twitter for the first time. And sure enough, after the race, Mike Koch sends me an email that says, hey, Dale Jr.'s got a specific message for Twitter that he wants to be played at the beginning of the podcast. And I'm like, here it goes. Well, here's what they sent.
One thing I want to tell you fans is this is basically the first time I've ever ran like crap and had a Twitter account. And I want to tell y'all all the support that y'all gave me, even just after the race. It really means a lot. And it's awesome to have that kind of interaction with you guys and be able to see that support and understand what that support is and where it's coming from. So it means a lot. Definitely going to keep us pumped up and keep us moving forward. I just want to tell you thanks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
How about that?
Yeah.
The honeymoon's still on. I'm telling you.
It's definitely still on.
but wow. I mean, you know, we forget about that. We look at the dark side of Twitter, and, you know, and there's a few. Certainly there are, and there were on Sunday during the race. But, you know, the overwhelming support that he got from Junior Nation via his Twitter feed, it helps. And wow. And so much so that he was so grateful that he specifically said, hey, I want you to play this. I want you to start the podcast with it. Because it means this much to me. So I thought that was really cool.
I can't believe, I know you agree with this, I just can't believe how into Twitter Dale Jr. is. I mean, he loves it, and he has done it the right way, and the interaction he has had with his fans is tremendous. So yeah. I wish I could see more of it. I did see it for a few weeks, but my wonderful wife suggested that I give up Twitter for Lent. And that's been challenging, but I have not gotten on Twitter. So
good for you.
You guys will have to tell me if something happens on there I need to know about. I did watch the entire race on Sunday from start to finish, which was quite the challenge.
Good
obviously,
that you didn't give that up for Lent.
No, listen, I love NASCAR, and I'm certainly never going to give that up. Though I'm sure people that were at Bristol Motor Speedway for 9-10 hours on Sunday had their loyalty had challenged. It's like Steve Letart said there at the beginning, Mike, it's the worst thing is not knowing what's wrong. You know, it's one thing if you're like, man, we just have a real problem in the right rear and we just can't get it fixed. We've got a loose race car and we're battling a loose race car all day, or we're battling a tight race car all day, but they just seem to never figure out exactly what was wrong. I would speculate, Mike, it had something to do with the tire rub and just the changing track conditions. I know that there was some speculation during the race about spark plugs, but it does. It stinks when you keep coming in there and you can't diagnose what's going on.
Well, he said a lot of things during that race, and you know, one of them was he's not a big fan of the tires. I think Dale Jr. straight up asked him during the race in our caution, what do you think about these tires? And he's like, I'm not a fan. But he also said, you know, the track would change a lot early on the race. He goes, this is going to be a long race. The track is going to change immensely, and it did. And, you know, when the track changes, so does the handle of your car. But the most profound thing he said was, sometimes you just got to take your medicine. When you have days like this, let's not try to make a bad problem worse by trying to, you know, gain a lap back by not pitting. You know, when clearly tires were important, as bad as they may have been, you know, on certain runs. But let's not make a bad problem worse. Let's get out of here, take our medicine, and get better next time.
Well, congratulations to Carl Edwards. I know he was ecstatic about the win, and there were some guys that were running up there at the front, like Stenhouse and some others that had big days. But other than those guys, it just seemed to be a day to forget. You know, I mean, weather-wise, obviously, and then you had the crazy finish to that race. I've never seen anything like that before, where you have some malfunction with the lights, or with the caution lights, or the lights on the track, rather, and some are green and some are yellow. Edwards would have won, Mike, no matter if they're under green or if they're under yellow. But still, that was weird.
I was going to point out that on the TV broadcast, they said if that caution hadn't have come out, there probably have been a lot of carnage because of that rain just started to come down and pour.
Yeah.
You know, if you were under green with that amount of downpour coming it could have been a lot worse. So maybe it was a blessing in disguise.
You know, they try to make a big deal about that, you know, call conspiracies and stuff like that on Twitter. I know you thankfully, Taylor, you deprived yourself of that. But you know what? I was completely satisfied with the way that happened. Clearly, there was a mistake made. You know, with the caution lights coming out, NASCAR owned up to it. You know, not that long after the race, to be honest with you, they said that there was somebody inadvertently had hit the override button, wherever that button is. It shouldn't have happened, but I was satisfied with it because the right person won the race.
Yep.
You know, if Carl had not won the race, then there's a bigger deal. But, you know what? I was really impressed with Jeff Dickerson because
he did a good job.
Yeah. You know, the track was lit up like a Christmas tree with it looked like a construction zone with all the yellow lights. But he didn't slow Junior down because he didn't hear it on the radio. The caution was out. He goes, you know, the track is lit up, but keep going. They're not saying anything. And that was pretty – you got that clip?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here, listen to this.
They didn't call anything. They didn't say anything. Yellow's out now. Yellow's out.
Weird, huh?
What they do is just flip the light? I didn't hear anything, TJ. Dickerson? Yeah.
That was a little wild. I mean, and like, as you could tell, I mean, everybody's just trying to speculate or figure out what's going on there. And I think you can read between the tea leaves there. Some those voices you just heard were wondering about conspiracies, et cetera. But it is kind of funny, Letarte, Dickerson.
Yeah.
But you're right. He did do a very good job throughout that process.
You think, well, it's no big deal. He's a spotter. But Dickerson's not a full-time spotter now. I mean, this is something, you know, he stepped in mm-hmm. to fill in for TJ. I mean, that was a mistake I could have made. I'm like, oh, caution's out, apparently. You know, this is why I'm not a spotter. But, good job by Dickerson. It was just wacky race. It was one of those races where the fastest car just seemed like to be doomed. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there were so many fast cars early in the race, and then next thing you know, they're either on a rollback or in the garage.
There's one other thing I want to hear that I know Amanda has some in-car chatter from, and that's whatever happened with the 27 Jackman there. That was wild. Let's hear that.
Oh, nothing. 27. Pit crew is upset with us for some reason. I don't know why. They'll get over it. Get calmed the hell down is what they need to do. Hey, Slugger's coming over here. Let him up here. Oh, yeah, no. Me and Slugger had to talk. We're good. It's quite hilarious, actually. Is it? Apparently the Jackman was upset because he said we came through his box. So I explained that we have to come through their box to get into our box. It's no biggie. We're good.
I like that. You tell them to calm the hell down. That was good stuff right there. But that's the kind of stuff that you hear every single week, Mike, listening to these different drivers and spotters and crew chief is when you, especially at a short track like Bristol, where everybody's trying to get on pit road at the same time, and it's just nuts, you're going to get these kind of things happening.
Yeah, but if I hear a jackman that's jawing at my crew chief during a race, and I still have more pit stops to make, if it were me on my next stop, I'm swerving at him. I ain't going to hit him, but I'm going to swerve at him.
Wow. All right, Mike Davis trying to take people out on pit road, probably a good reason why we're not driving out there on the track, but that was wild, and it's a good thing that the Slugger and Stevie figured all of that out. Let's hear what Junior had to say. I know it was a disappointing day for the 88, but listen, you're going to have days like this. Keep in mind, a win already under your belt, going out there trying to get victories the rest of the year, finishing 24th, four laps down, was obviously not what they had in mind, but Dale Jr. with very good perspective afterwards.
Hey, everybody. It's Dale Jr. Just finished up with Bristol. I'm sitting on Brad Keselowski's plane because he's my ride home. We're waiting on him to get here at the airport, so we figured we'd go ahead and do our post-race recap. But just a real crummy finish, and we had a fast car early in the race. And then when we went back racing after the rain delay, the thing just wouldn't turn, and it tore the left front tire off of it. And we changed tires thinking it was just a bad set because we'd had a tire out of balance in practice. So next set of tires did the same thing, just tore right up. And, you're off the pace maybe a half a second, when that left front tire goes away completely. So it was shaking bad, and I thought maybe the wheels coming loose. So we came in, made a lot of adjustments to free the car up, and got ourselves four laps down, and finally got the car to where at least keep the tires on it. Still wasn't really driving that fast. Still don't know why we lost our speed because we really had great speed the first 130 laps of the race, but hopefully they take it home and we find something changed, something moved, but you just never know. And, you know, things happen like that. Sometimes things move and break, and you just don't know if you'll find them or not. We'll go get them at Fontana. I like Fontana. A lot of room. You can run all over the place in the corners. I love that about racetracks like Fontana. So we'll ease on out there and have some fun and hopefully get us a good run. We didn't lose too many points today. We're still kind of right there in the mix. Even though, you know, we win a race and we're in the chase, they say, I still like to finish as well as I can, you know, even when we can't win, and run and do as well as we can in the points. So we're watching that, even though we're, you know, thinking of, you know, already got a win, we're still watching that. You just kind of can't help yourself. So we'll try to go to Fontana and get us a good finish and get back going on the right track. And I think we're on the right track. You know, the car was pretty fast at the start of the race, so wasn't like we was off all day long. So we'll just wrap it up and ease on down the road, man. Y'all take it easy. See ya.
Good stuff there. All right, before Reaction Theater starts, now, I got this email from Amanda Troutman, and it says, we have Spy Optic as a sponsor now.
That's right.
Mike Davis, we have a sponsor of the Dale Jr. Download?
Somebody that shares the vision with us, Taylor, and that's exciting. Now, I'm being dead serious here. It was, you know, as we continue to grow Dirty Mo Radio, and you know, you and I were on this maiden voyage last year with this one podcast, but we've grown it to new podcasts, and we're going to continue to grow it. We needed partners. We needed sponsorship partners, and Spy Optic and their Dirty Mo line of sunglasses and all their other sunglasses, they've jumped on board because we are really going to be able to push this year, and as it grows in popularity, this Dirty Mo Radio thing we've started, you know, it becomes, you know, an asset for our sponsorship partners. And so they've joined us, and we will be pushing this stuff, and we are going to give away sunglasses. You would not believe it, guys. I mean,
that's awesome.
We are going to be giving away so much stuff. They are coming all in. And so I ask that you support Spy Sunglasses, Spy Optics, because they are supporting us, and they're making this thing happen. They are making this thing happen for us. So they're sponsoring the Monday recap that Amanda does. They're sponsoring the Dale Jr. Download, which is obviously this show. And we are going to knock it out of the park for them, and I just hope the fans respond well because it's a big deal to me. It's a big deal to Amanda. It's a big deal to you, Taylor. And if you want to, if you listen to Dirty Mo Radio and you enjoy it, support the sponsors and listen to Dirty Mo Radio because we're going to be giving away sunglasses. And it's just going to be a big deal. So we're really happy about this.
This is not a hard sponsor either to want to go. They have such a great product. And I do want to mention, too, that along with Dale Jr.'s Signature Collection, they've got this new Happy Lens out. I think Ken Block has a collection with them. They have a great female line, which
great,
I don't think a lot of people realize.
My wife's got two pairs, yep.
But you can go to spyoptic.com and check out everything they have.
So that's really cool. And Mike, big credit to you for your vision for all of this. And that's exciting news. We absolutely are so thrilled for Spy Optic to be part of this podcast. Thanks very much to them. And please go out and support them. That's awesome news. And be fun to give away some here on the program. All
absolutely.
Right, let's hear from you now. It's time for Reaction Theater.
Oh, Carl Edwards. We're going to win the championship this year. It's our goal. Well, let's see. Last year in Richmond, when you said that in Victory Lane, didn't really work out too well, did it, you back-flipping mother Anyways, it's good to see the aggression in the drive out of the 88, even on a night where he struggled. Let's get amped up in Kickstarter weekend. See you in Cali. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You know, Mike, he's in incredible shape, Carl Edwards, obviously, and he always does those backflips. But when it's raining on the high banks of Bristol Motor Speedway, I think I would have taken a pass on that. That was pretty impressive. He's still... made the landing there, stuck the landing at Bristol Motor Speedway.
Don't you think, though, as he gets older in years, and is it not inevitable that at some point he's going to miss that landing?
He's going to be 52 years old out there trying to do it.
There's going to be that moment when he's going to have to realize, I can't do the backflip anymore. And it's going to happen when he does the backflip and doesn't land it.
Right, yeah, and that could be pretty scary.
We'll see.
To be honest, let's go into the next one.
Yo, Dickerson, when you see him, if you see him, come on, man, pick up the phone, call your boy TJ up, and get a little spotting one-on-one going on. Just because Steve Letarte took his medicine halfway through the race and didn't care anymore, you can do better, man. Be confident on the radio, assert yourself. Don't be nervous. Just this is NASCAR racing. You're only talking to Dale Jr.
Wow.
Timmy Brock is back.
Yeah. Stevie took his medicine and stopped caring in the middle of the race.
Oh, that's so good.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah. I like it, Dickerson. Getting thrown under the bus. TJ is all of a sudden the hero when he stays home. I like that.
Right.
Next.
Okay. Shitty night for the 88 team, but we've got our win. We are in. What a difference watching this. Normally, I'd be depressed. I'd be pacing. Instead, I got to tell you, I am so proud of this team, and I am so proud of Junior driving this broken car.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, she's right about that with that win. It does. It changes everything, Mike. I mean, think about how we were feeling last year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And it's funny to hear fans still, like, excited after a terrible run, and normally they would be complaining and really upset, and they're just like, I'm still so proud. What a great run.
Yeah, it's a real credit to Dale Jr. and the entire 88 team for what they've accomplished in the first 3 weeks of the season, and hearing his confidence is just awesome, man. Fires me up for Fontana. Next.
Let me tell you what's got me all fired up. I sat there and watched the Paul Menard, Jack Mann bullshit the entire time. I was right across from the pit box. Saw it all go down. I saw him over there, John at Lopes and the boys, and I was ready to take off my headset, hop the fence, and go over there and fight that son of a so that Lopes and the boys didn't have to whip his ass and get a probation. So we got your back, Team 88. Don't worry about that pansy and his little crybaby attitude about driving through his box. After everybody calmed down, the dark kind of laughed about it, I looked around in the stands and find a Paul Menard fan I can shout out. But hell, I couldn't find any. Paul Menard fans like trying to find a unicorn ranch worn by leprechauns. Can't find any of them. Give them hell, Dale.
Oh, call that's of the awesome. Year. You know what?
That is a call of the year.
True props to Quasi Dado. I mean, you know, he's a Texas guy. He lives in Texas, and he was in Bristol. You know, when you talk about those, hey, thanks to the fans that stuck around, Quasi Dado, our boy, stuck it around in those stands.
Yeah,
he got rained on. It was cold. And listen to him fired up after that race.
He's the number one junior fan. He's unbelievable. That's pretty phenomenal. He came all the way from Texas for that. I've got to go see him in a few weeks. I wasn't able to last time I was there, but I'll be there in Fort Worth, Quasi Dado, and we will definitely drink a cold one. Next.
I used to love Bristol. Now I hate this freaking track. And I swear to God, if they had this damn problem with the car in practice, they should have found it and fixed it. But no, we just around and around. Damn it, if he loses a points lead out of this, he will turn evil.
I'm sorry to laugh because she is pretty frustrated right now. But hey, I think that, you know, after a few days, hopefully she's calmed down, Mike, and now she's excited again and confident just like everybody else is going to the next one.
Could you believe how different that car was between before the rain delay and after the rain delay?
That
amazing.
Was.
Amazing.
It was wild.
That 88 was fast before that rain delay.
It was right up there at the front.
Yes.
I mean, it's a funny thing. I mean, like Dale Jr. was saying last week that, look, it's great, you know, we gambled, we finished second, we had a chance to win the race and all that, but we weren't really competing, you know, we weren't leading laps, we weren't at there at the front, you know, the majority of the race in Las Vegas. Well, that's the first thing I thought, is there the first 100 laps, Mike, because they were up there at the front competing, you know, to lead laps, and that was cool to see, and maybe that's another reason why you hear so much confidence from Dale Jr. after the race. What's next?
I swear to the world, I have got to make a doctor's appointment this morning because this effing sport makes me effing bipolar. Oh, my God. The end of that race sucked. You drove your ass off, Dale Jr. Stevie, you did the best you could with a piece of car after lap 124. Thanks. Love you. Keep trying hard, guys. Bye.
Man, I love Junior Nation. I just love them.
You know, you talk about Lent. We could tell that some people didn't give up profanity for Lent.
No,
this is the most censored reaction theater I think I've had. So.
Yeah. All right, one more, Amanda.
Mike, I'm going to start off by saying this. Dickerson, Stevie, Junebug, Team 88, and you too, TJ, I forgive you for bringing that piece of junk to the party when you know we're on a champagne high, popping bottles, snatching trophies. Focus, boys. Focus.
I love it. That's just great stuff. Reaction Theater is open 24/7. All you have to do is call toll-free like it's 1983, 1-855-740-1902, and leave us your voicemail message, and we'll play the best each week right here on Dirty Mo Radio. Shout-out to Ryan Beadle that works at Junior Motorsports. He sent me an email this week and told me to fax him some paperwork toll-free like it was 1983.
So that's funny.
I appreciated him saying that there in the email. But, yes, call Reaction Theater, 1-855-740-1902. Some really good stuff that is coming up this week, of course. Fastlane Family with Kelly Earnhardt Miller. She was out in California earlier this week, and it's crazy about those earthquakes. I know that she's going to probably have something to say about that.
Yep.
And then JRM360, the podcast is ridiculous. It's uninformative,
yep,
but it's, of course, entertaining as hell.
Thank you.
So we'll have that on Friday. and then we have Amanda's race recap coming up, of course, on Mondays for everything that happened with Junior Motorsports, the nationwide late model teams, and Dale's Sprint Cup Series run as well. So that is all ahead coming up on Dirty Mo Radio that you can find, of course, at DaleJr.com or on iTunes. But before we do that, we got to throw the white flag.
Let's do it.
White flag right there. White flag.
All right, well, since we don't have anybody to read it today, I'm doing it, Taylor. So here we go. Okay. Dale Jr. and the 88 team is doing some short track testing today down in Florida as they prepare for Martinsville in a couple weeks. Now, yesterday, you might have seen that Jr. was at Hendrick Motorsports doing the traditional ringing of the victory bell. That's for the victory at Daytona 500. You can check the photos out on the Hendrick Motorsports Twitter timeline. On Thursday, Junior's doing some production work for American Coalition for Clean Coal Electricity, which is a valued sponsor of Junior Motorsports. This weekend, guys, for fans going out to Auto Club Speedway, be aware that Junior's doing a special Q&A at 9:30 a.m. in the Nationwide Series Garage. It's part of a special ticket package that for just $88, you can get one reserve ticket to the race, one pre-race pit pass. That's the cup race, by the way. One pre-race pit pass and then access to the exclusive pre-race Q&A on race day. Go to autoclubspeedway.com for information. For Saturday's Nationwide Series race, Kevin Harvick, Regan Smith, and Chase Elliott are going for the good guys. You can watch them at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN. Dale Jr. will do his racing on Sunday in the Auto Club 400 with the race starting at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And that's it, Taylor.
Good stuff this week. Amanda Troutman, appreciate you very much. Excellent stuff from Dale Jr. Appreciate both of those clips he sent us. Mike Hogue, all his behind-the-scenes work is greatly appreciated as well. And, of course, Mike Davis, you are the man. Awesome.
No, you're the man.
Appreciate Spy Optics. This is fun that you guys are participating with us. For all of you, I'm Taylor Zarzer. You've been listening to the Dale Jr. Download.
Thanks for listening to Dirty Mo Radio.
Hey, Dirty Mo Radio listeners, just like you heard on the podcast, Dale Jr. Download Now is presented by Spy. So to check out Signature Spy 88 Collection, head to spyoptic.com. That is spyoptic.com.